Shalom Aleichem, good evening everybody. Welcome back to the Learning Bachabura. We haven't seen each other from before this summer. I was told just today that our Chabad Jake Katenik is still very, very sick. And we wish we should be mispal. He should have a refuah shleima. His name is Yechiel Ben Hoisha Itte. And this learning that we always have together should be a schus for Yechiel, Zoh Shacholi Yisrael. Before Rosh Hashanah, we have a very old minik. Rav Soloveitchik thought it probably predates the days of the Gaon, and probably from the days of the Gemara, that you recite Slichas, and the Gemara comments in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara comments on the Pasuk. Vayabar Hashem alpona vayikro, malamish in the Sati, vakadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dressed up in the Mara HaNevuah. He dressed up like a chazan does. And he was Vayavra, Miloshin, Oivel of Ne'ateva. And after the Chet Egel, the Rabban Shalom showed Moshe Rabbeinu how Bnei Yisrael should fear Zach, how they should act in order to get Mechilas Avinas, that we should recite the Yud Gimel Midas. Yasol Afani Kesei the Hazeh Bani Moichalahem. So the Geonim in the days of the Geonim Kadmoy, the days of the Marshoah, the Bach, and the Taz, and that Kufa of the Achronim, there was a big machlekes, whether reciting the Yud Gimel Midas has the status of Dovish Bigdusha or not. And they wrote in the Tshuvas Geonim Basra, they wrote the three Natkaminas Ledina, or Natkaminas, whether you need a minion. The Gemara Megillah says, in order to recite Kadosh Kedusha Baruch Hu, since these constitute a Dovish Bigdusha, and Dovish Bigdusha Pachas Me'asor, you have to have a minion. So the Shaila is a lot of times the boys are going home before Rosh Hashanah, they're going to Eretz Yisrael before Yom Kippur, whatever, to spend Yom Tov there. And then they say Slichas on the plane, they don't have a minion. They're saying Slichas B'yichidus. So do they have the right to say the Yud Gimel Midas or not? So that's the main nafkamina is whether you need a minion. Second nafkamina they have is whether you need Amida, because the Magen Avraham quotes that the Achrayim say that there is a Yerushalmi. They say from the Arizal there is no such Yerushalmi, but the other Achrayim say there is a Yerushalmi that requires Amida of Dovish Bigdusha. When we recite Kadosh, 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 so then we're saying Shiras HaMalochim, so the Malachim recite Kiddusha Bamida. So that's why we recite Bamida. What about Baruch Hu? What about answering Kaddish? Are you supposed to stand to the Mezame, the one who says the Kaddish, or the Shliach Tzibah, the one who says the Baruch Hu? We assume he certainly has to stand. What about the one who does the Aniyah, the one who responds, says Baruch Hashem, Baruch Li'olam Vo'ed? Does he have to stand as well? So the Achrayim quote that there's a Yerushalmi that says that I forgot the name, and Sefer Shoftim, when he came to the Goyish Melech, he said, V'alekim li ima melech, so he stood up, and then he stabbed him to, then the Novi stabbed him to death. So Ehud. Ehud. It was one of the Shoftim, yeah. So because he said, V'alekim li el ha-melech, that's why the melech stood up. So from there you learn out, then when you hear a Dovish B'kdusha, you're supposed to stand up. And others deny that that comment from the Yerushalmi. But we usually do stand up for Bo Hashkenazim, do follow that Magen Avraham. We stand up for answering Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, and so on, every Dovish B'kdusha. And then the third Nafkamin is where they need Atifa. Apparently, one they need, the Gemara says you need atifa when you bench Birchas Hamazon al Hakos. Whenever there's some more bekavod dikat tefila, more bekavod dikat tchina, you require atifa. I remember the Talmidim once asked Rav Soloveitchik, when are you supposed to put the talus over your head? When you daven and when is it not necessary? So he started to think back the way he saw it in Europe. So he said his impression is that when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you need atifa, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, Tefila Le'ani Ki Atof. The simple pshat in the pasuk Ki Atof doesn't really mean atifa, doesn't mean Ki Seheroish. It rather means that the Oni bellows over in pain because he has a lot of tzarachim. He's starving and he's not healthy, and then no one's taking care of him. So Tfilah Dioni Kiyatov, he bends over in pain. But an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk would be Tfilah Dioni, the Ani does Atifa when he davens. So one should have Atifa when he davens. Tfilah means Shmona Esrei. And then for Dovash Bigdusha, we would require Atifa. What exactly does Atifa mean? So the Beis Yosef, when he quotes that Gemara in Brachas in Perek Shlosha Sheachlu, the Gemara says, what are the dinim of Birchas HaMazon Alakos? You need itu fasor dinim nemer b'koy shal bracha, chay mali shtifa hadocha, all the dinim. So the Beis Yosef said, what does it mean that you need Atifa? It doesn't mean you should have Kisui HaRosh. So he says you can't recite any bracha without Kisui HaRosh. It must be that you need more than plain old Kisui HaRosh. You should wear a hat. You should wear a hat, not just wear a yarmulke. That's what the Beis Yosef says. The Tosis Yontif quotes the Beis Yosef, and he disagrees, and he says, who says that there's such a din? The minhag certainly is that we don't recite any brachas without Kisui HaRosh, but it could be that it's not really a din. But by koshal bracha, then you need ituf, then it's mikra din. The halacha says you're not permitted to recite Birchas HaMazon Alakos unless you have kisui harosh. So that's a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Tosfos Yontif. What does it mean atifa? The machlokes begins on the basic assumption: is there really a din that you're not allowed to recite a bracha begidli harosh? The fact that we walk around all the time with Kisui HaRosh, that's clearly only a minig. That wasn't always the minig, that's a minig. The Marshal has a famous tshuva where he complains about the fact that if you have an Am Haaretz, it doesn't know how to learn, but he wears a yarmulke, so everybody respects him. If you have a big Talmid Chacham who doesn't wear a yarmulke, he doesn't have Kisui HaRosh, the people are mevasa him. So he says, Vasepis, Kisui HaRosh is a new minig. They didn't always have that minig. If the person is a Talmid Chacham, you should be mechaber him, even if he doesn't wear a yarmulke. But the question is, when you say the bracha, that's the machlokes. The Beis Yosef assumes mi'ikra din, whenever you say any bracha, you have to have kisei harosh. So when you recite Birchas HaMazon alakos, a bracha alakos, or when you recite a Dovash Bigdusha, then we say you need atifa. Atifa means something more than a plain yarmulke. So it means you have to have a hat. They mean two yarmulkes, whatever. And the Tosfos Yontif says there is no such din to begin with that every bracha requires kisui harosh. He thinks atifa just means kisui harosh. Chacham Avadya points out that this machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Tosfos Yontif, whether one is permitted to recite a bracha begilui harosh, appears in the Masechta Sofrim as a machlokes hatanoim. Machlokes hatanoim. Neither of them quoted the Masechta Sofrim. Okay. So these are the three nafkaminas that appear in the Tshuva's Gaonei Basra, whether reciting of Yud Gimel Midas constitutes a Dovash B'Kedusha, do you need Asorah, do you need Amida, do you need Atifa. In the different Svarim that were written years ago, they quote the Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, and they quote, he said in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that it's not proper to ask the Malachim for any brachas, or the Malachim should do something on our behalf. The Malachim have no koyach. They're just shluchim. So when many people recite Shalom Aleichem on Friday night, so the third stanza is Bochun Elishalom. So they quote Rav Chaim Volozhiner said that it's not really proper. You shouldn't say Bochun Elishalom. And he pointed out that there's a Mishnah in Brochus that appears also in Megillah. The same Mishnah appears in both Masechtas and Mishnayos. O'aymei Baruch Hu Chatovim. Mishaskim also. There are certain things that people say, and you have to be mishaskim also. You have to tell them it's not proper to say that. So what does it mean, Yivarchu Chatoivim? So Rashi has two pshotim. One pshot Rashi gives is, I'm Yivarchu Chatoivim. He says to the Rabbanu Shel Olam that only tzaddikim should have the right to daven. Rishoyim don't have the right to daven. They shouldn't praise HaKadosh Baruch. Who are they that have no right to praise HaKadosh Baruch? That's one pshat that Rashi, Yivarchu Chatoivim, only tzaddikim should have the right to daven. Another pshat Rashi quotes is, Yivarchu Chatoivim, only people who ate Kedei Sviya should bench. Because the pasuk says, V'chalta v'savata v'irachta. If a person ate bread, but he's still hungry after he finishes eating the bread, he doesn't have to bench. So in our Torah, we talk a paskan like that. But I mean, the rabban on the din is even if a person didn't eat kedei sviya, is obligated to bench. So that's not proper to say. So these are the two pshatim that Rashi gives on that line in the Mishnah. The Meiri has six pshatim. I think two of them are probably what Rashi said. I don't remember all the six. But one of them is, he says to another person, not I say to the Rabban Shalom, only Baruch Hu Chatov, only Tzadikim should have the right to daven. But he says to another, Basav Adon, may the good angels bless you. The good malachim should give you a bracha, mishaskim also, because the malachim have no kerch, they don't have any power to give any bracha. So that's Rabbi Chaim Volozhin said that it's not proper to say, you shouldn't ask the malachim for any brachas. And they quote the same is when you say the slichas. Some of the slichas, one of the slichas begins, malach erachmim chalono p'nei elyon. So it sounds as if we're asking the angels that they should plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our behalf. So the Rav Chaim Volozhin felt it's not proper to say that. One can interpret it differently. Malach is not always an angel. Sometimes it means a shaliach. Vayishlach yankev malachim, it could be a shaliach. So when we recite malach erach mechalonot p'nei elyon, maybe the tzibur is requesting of the shliach tzibur. He's the shliach of the tzibur that he should daven well. And the same thing, one of the piyutim, one of the paragraphs at the end of the slichas every day in this season of the year is, Machnise HaRachmim should present our bakoshes and atchilas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Poshe Pshat Machnise HaRachmim refers to the angels. We ask the angels to please present our atchilas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some of the Gedolim say that it's not proper to say Machnise HaRachmim. Others say, no, Machnis Rachmi refers to the Shleach Tzibur. The Tzibur is saying to the Chazan, he's all the Chazanim in the world, are they Machnis Rachmi? They're presenting our tefillos in front of the Kisei HaKovet. So we say they should see, the Shleach Tzibur should present the wealth. The Chassam Sofer has a famous tshuva where he writes that when you get to the end of the Slichas, they say everything so quickly, so you can't say everything. So he always skips that paragraph. He never says the Machnis Rachmim, because it's questionable whether it's proper to recite it or not. But that's famous Rav Chaim Volozhin. He said the name of the Vilna Gaon, and that's the Mishnah, the way the Meiri learns that it's not proper to ask the Malachim for anything. On the first day of Slichas...
Isn't there a Gemara that says two Malachim come escort the person home on Erev Shabbos? They give a bracha, no?
And they give a bracha, but we shouldn't ask them for any brachas. We shouldn't ask. Their job is to give brachas. That they don't have chiyuv chafshis though, so we can't ask them. They should give us brachas. Whatever they're mechuyev ben hashamayim to do, so they do. So their job is to give brachas if the house is in order. Yeah, that's a quote from Rav Chaim Volozhin. Yeah. The same that one of the piyutim that you have in the slichas is. Midas HaRachmim Aleinu His Galgali. We speak to the Midas HaRachmim. Instead of speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we speak to the Midas HaRachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aleinu His Galgali, that the Midas HaRachmim should act on our behalf. So also not proper to recite. So usually they skip in the yeshiva, they skip the first paragraph and they start from the second paragraph. Then every so often you have the first day of Slichas, there's a piyut. And every couple of days, there's another piyut in the slichas where we say, we will kaveh the day as a tonis. And most people today don't fast the first day of slichas. A lot of people don't fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. In the slichas that we say on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we say, we will kaveh kachutzom, we will kaveh the day as a tonis sibur. So you should really not say those. It's not proper to be Dovish Gart if the people are not fasting. So don't say, we will kaveh the day as a tiny stibra. Bechlal, the slichas, the end of the slichas, what's printed in our slichas, the last parts, are what the Tanaim used to say. The easy parts of the slichas and the easy Hebrew, that appears in the Mishnayos and Tainas and the Gemara and Tainas, the Brises there. The difficult piyutim that appear in the slichas, those were composed in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. So if you don't have time to say everything, you have to abridge. So best is to say, it says the Shulchan Aruch, Tov Miat B'Kavana Mehar B'Shaloi B'Kavana. It's better to say less and to know what you're talking about than to say so much more and not know what you're talking about. So the easier slichas, the easier parts of the slichas, the easier sections are the ones at the very end that the Tanaim used to say. But we usually recite the Yugim Amidus after the complicated piyutim also. So we're going to say all of the stanzas. You have to have an English translation in order to understand what the stanza is referring to. So if you go slowly, you won't have time to say the whole pizman, the whole piyut. So it's better to say less and to know. Tov me'at b'kavana, me'har b'shaloi b'kavana.
But on those days that there's a chosin, or we wouldn't say tachnon, or Rav Yom Kippur, we skip the last pieces, the parts of Namar of Tanoim.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but those are the more important. Pasha said those are the more important parts of the slichas. What the Tanoim is to say, the parts that are easy. Our minig in Shulchan Aruch is that we say Hashem Nebagadnu three times, except to Erev Yom Kippur. When our minig is the Tumen Hagim by the Erev Yom Kippur, you say 2 hours of slichas, like Erev Rosh Hashanah. Or you say a bridge slichas, you only say 15 minutes. So most have the minig, by the Yekis, they have the minig, and Erev Yom Kippur, they say 2 hours of slichas, longer than like Erev Rosh Hashanah. And most places in Eastern Europe, the minig is faker, that you say very abbreviated slichas. The Bir Agro on Shulchan Aruch has a long arichas on this. He explains that the Gemara said there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, and he shows there's a machlokes of Rishon, whether the mitzvah to eat only applies Erev Yom Kippur in the daytime of Erev Yom Kippur, or even Leil Erev Yom Kippur, the night before. So the question being whether only Erev Yom Kippur Bayom is treated like a yontif, so there's a mitzvah to eat, or even a night before Erev Yom Kippur is also to be treated like a yontif, in which case we really shouldn't say the slichas, like we don't say slichas on Shabbos, but we shouldn't say the slichas on yontif. Yom Kippur is a different story, because Yom Kippur, it was on Yom Kippur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu this, Vayav Hashem upon him, Ve'ikra, Hashem Hashem Kal Rachel Hachanan, V'lam Hashem Nisata V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'shliach Tzibur, that occurred on Yom Kippur. So that's why we say the Yud Gimel Linus many times on Yom Kippur, in the Slichas and the Chazaras HaShatz. But if Erev Yom Kippur, the night before Erev Yom Kippur is also Yontif, then we should abridge the slichas, only have 15 minutes. And if the night before is not Yantav, only Bayoim is Yantav, not the night before, then since we're approaching Yom Kippur, Hasvar and Hasanis, we should say more slichas, we say 2 hours of slichas. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, the Ramah said, meaning is all week long when we say slichas, we say 3 times, Hashem Nebagadnu, except for Erev Yom Kippur, we only say once. And the minig Agro was that he only said once. So in the Sefer Tnuas HaMusar, he quotes that they asked, I think, Rabbi Sol Salanta or Rabbi Zundel Salanta, they asked one of the Gedolei HaMusar. They always follow, I think, Rabbi Zundel Salanta. He learned in Valoshen, and he followed all the Minhagim of the Vilna Goyen. So they asked him, how come he says, Hashem Nebagadnu 3 times? He always follows Nusach HaGro. So he should only say Hashem Nebagadnu only once, every day of Slichus. So he says, he doesn't want to show the Bezen Shalmaila what a big knacker he is. If they'll see that he's such a knacker that he follows Nusach HaGroa, then I'll hold him up responsible to a higher standard. And they may not accept his tshuva, and they'll expect much more of him. So he'd rather be a plain balabos and say the regular Nusach like everybody says. Got to be careful. When we recite the Yud Gimel Midas, so we always introduce it with a paragraph before. So the first time in the slichah, the first time we said Yud Gimel Midas, we say Kelar Chayapai Mata Valar Acharim the Kreisa B'Derech Tshuva Reisa Gedulos Rachamecha B'Chasadecha Tiska Yom etc. And then the rest of the times that we say Yud Gimel Midas, you don't start the paragraph like that. You start Kelar Melchi Yosher Kisa Rachmi. What is the difference? Rav Soloveitchik explained, just like in Nishman Esri, there are 2 brachas. You have Hashiveinu Avinu Esarasecha and ends off Haratze B'Tshuva. Then they say right after that, Slachlon, Abinu Kirchatano. And these are two different brachas. They're not the same. Hashveinu Avinu Saraseh is a bakosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to be chosen b'tshuva. We say, Baruch Ato Hashem HaRotze b'tshuva. How do you translate HaRotze b'tshuva? So I think in most of the English translations, they translated HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be chosen b'tshuva. So Leitchik thought that it doesn't mean Rotze, who Rotze, what he wants, but rather means who misratze b'tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be appeased by our doing tshuva. If we would anger someone else and we would want to appease them, so we would have to bend over backwards, do something unusual, give them a gift or give them money or bribe them or something. Kadosh Baruch Hu just mistratze b'tshuva. If we just do tshuva, he will be appeased. So the first bracha that we have in the Shemona Esrei, HaRotze b'tshuva, is a bakosha on tshuva. The second, Sachlon Avinu, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Chanun Hamar b'lisloach. That means to forgive the sins. First bracha is a bakosha on the ability to do tshuva. Hashem should enable us to do tshuva shvein avinu sarasecha. Achzereinu b'tshuva shleim olafanecha. And the second bracha is a bracha mechilas avinu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should be chanun amar b'lislach. He should forgive all of the avinu. So the same is true. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the first time you say the Yud Gimel Midos, so we introduce the kelach hapai matav alach nekresa, Derech Tshuva HaReisa, just show us the Derech to do Tshuva. And after we've already requested, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show us the way to do Tshuva, then we say, Ken Melcha Yeshekis HaRachmim, that is Moichel the Avoinus. So that's why we have the Shinui Loshim. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama quotes that the minig is that the one who recites the Slichas, the Shleach Tzibur, for the Slichas, should daven the rest of the day. And the Achrayim give the reason why is because Amascha b'mitzvah omim lo gemar. So the Mefarshim Abadik with the Kashi, you don't have such a din, let's say, whoever davens, let's say, not Slichas time, whoever davens Shachas, whoever is the Shlech Tzibur for Shachas, should serve as this, and let's say on Shabbos Yom Tov, should also serve as the Shlech Tzibur for Musaf and for Mincha and for Metzoy Shabbos also. So Yandav also, each tefillah is separate, unrelated to each other. Why do you say, by slichas, whoever said slichas, whoever was the shlach tzibur for the slichas, amas chamitzah, amlo gemar, each unit is separate. Why all of a sudden are we here? So Shlomo Levilne, in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, on Aruch Chaim, has a different suggestion. He doesn't think that's the reason why. Because amas chamitzah, amlo gemar, says, we never say that, whoever daven shachris, any day of the year, Shadavin Musaf and Shadavin Minchas, Shadavin Ma'ariv. He thinks that the reason why is because they used to say Shlichas so early, before Alois HaShachar. They would start to say the Shlichas before Alois HaShachar. So you deserve credit. The one who woke up so early that is able to begin the Shlichas at 4:45 in the morning, or 4:30 in the morning, and the sun doesn't rise till after 6 o'clock, that's quite a feat. So you have to give him some kind of a prize, some kind of a reward. So we reward him by giving him the mechabed him, he should daven all day long. That's how Rav Shlomo Levilne thinks. Rav Soloveitchik thought, no, the original explanation was given hamascha v'mitzvah lo gemar. So why is it different from any other day that we don't say whoever daven shachris has the schus to daven, to be the shlech tzibah for Musaf and for Mincha and so on. So that you thought that Slichas this season of the year is different from Slichas on Shivasa B'Tamas and some Gedalia and Asara B'Tavis and Shivasa B'Tamas and Gedalia, etc. The Slichas were originally instituted by the Baalei HaTosfos to be recited in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. In Broyers, they still do like that. They say, Slach Lavinu Ki Chatan B'Chala Malkeinu Ki Foshanu. And then they add all the Slichas in the middle of the Bracha before they finish. The bracha, that bracha, chanun amar b'lislech. And even in most shuls, but they don't say in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, so the slichas are recited on Shabbos HaBetam, in some Gedalia, slichas are recited right after the completion of the Shemona Esrei. It relates back to the Shemona Esrei. When Sheni came this season of the year, the slichas are recited balayla. It's supposed to really begin balayla before Alos HaShachar. That's very early, because the slichas, by definition, are supposed to be the introduction to the tefillah sayom. We treat the slichas as if it's an entity of tefillah on its own. That's why we recite Kaddish Tiskabel at the end. That's why we start with Ashrei, and then you end off after the bulk of the slicha, you end off with Tachnun, like you do every day. You start off with Ashrei, then you have the tefillahs, and then you say Tachnun, and then you say Kaddish Tiskabel. But the nature of the takona of slichas this season of the year is that it's hakdamah to the tefillahs hayom. Because it's a hakdamah, Rav Soloveitchik gave a funny mashal. He said, let's say a person will recite slichas at 4:30 in the morning, and then he'll go to sleep the whole day. He won't daven shacharis and mincha, he won't daven anything else. So Rav Soloveitchik thought he doesn't even have the kiyum of slichas. The minhag to recite slichas is, we say slichas, but Torah is hakdamah. It's an introduction to the tefillahs hayom. If you're going to say the other tefillahs, but if you're not going to daven anything, just going to say slichas. Some people go to slichas the first night, and then the next day on Sunday, they don't daven anything. So what do you mean? Let's say a lot of women don't daven, but everybody goes to say slichas. So the slichas have no value at all. Slichas are supposed to be an introduction to the tefillahs hayom. So Rashi gave a mashal from Ne'ilah. There are people who don't come to shul the whole day on Yom Kippur. They just come to Nila, they daven Nila. Rav Soloveitchik said, B'shem Abchaim, Nila, it says in the Rishami like that. What is the Yisrael of Tfilas Nila on Yom Kippur? By us, we only say Nila on Yom Kippur. B'zman HaTanoim, Nila was not only a Tfilah on Yom Kippur. Nila is a Tfilah, an additional Tfilah that's recited on a Taina Sibur. We have, as Manu said, we say, the Gemara says, Ein Taina Sibur B'Bavel, Chutz Mitisha B'Av Yom Kippur. The others are not really a Taina Sibur. What do you mean? But we learn Kriyas HaTorah. On a Taina Yochid, you don't learn Kriyas HaTorah. The Chazan doesn't say, Aneinu Zeh Bracha B'Fnei Atzmo. And we do recite. We learn Kriyas HaTorah on Shivasa B'Tamas, on Gedalia, and so on. And we recite Kriyas HaTorah. We learn Kriyas HaTorah and we recite the Chazan says Aneinu as a bracha b'fnei atzma. So the Rishonim Masechas Tainis quote from the Gaonim, it's not really a Tainis Sibur. The only two that are Tainis Sibur really are Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim. And on Yom Kippurim Taka we do say Tfilas Ne'ilah. That's Ne'ilah is an extra Tfilah. Tisha B'Av is also a Tainis Sibur, but we don't recite Tfilas Ne'ilah. Because we say in Eicha Kam Ki Ezek Vashadeya Sosem Tfilosi, the Tfilos are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted as Mancha Beis Hamikdash or Yekayim. And the whole idea of Neila is that you stand, the Gemara learns that, the Yushalmi, the end of Tainus, learns that from Sukkim and Torah and Nevi'im and Exuvim, that if you offer the same Bakosha, the same Tfilah, time after time after time again, you repeat Riboy Tfilah, but you see from that pasuk that usually if you repeat the same bakasha many times over, stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. Or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, so he said, "Al tarba, you shouldn't. Don't think that this issue is going to be the same as every other issue that came up. That if you're going to do ribui tefillah, you stand a better chance of having the tefillahs answered. It's not going to be. I'm not going to change my mind." So the Gemara, the Rishalmi, at the end of Tainus, learns out from Sukkim, from Torah, from Levim, from Ksuvim, that Ribui Tefillah helps. So that's what Ne'ilah is all about. We add an additional tefillah to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mechal Oli Avonis. And on Tisha B'Av, Ribui Tefillah doesn't help because the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of Churban. That's why we leave out this Kabel after we read Megillah Secha, Leil, when we daven Ma'ariv on Leil Tisha B'Av, we didn't recite Decha yet, so we didn't yet say that pasuk. Kam kisar b'sfila neneshem er dechem. What's the pasuk? No, that's not. What's the pasuk again? Kam ki ezak v'ashavei asasim tfilosi. That pasuk. So when we daven Ma'ariv on Leil Tisha B'Av, we didn't read Echa yet. So since we didn't say that pasuk yet, so we still do say Kaddish Tiskabel after Mar, but then after another hour later, when we finish reading Echa, then we really should have said Kaddish Tiskabel, And the minig is we leave out this kabbal. We just say Kaddish Olam without this kabbal. In the morning, we leave out this kabbal again. Because Tisha B'Av is the day that we act as if the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer here, Beis HaMikdash is the Mokam HaKrovas HaKorbanos, and it's the Mokam of Talmud Torah, the center of the Torah Shebichsav. That's where you have the Sefer HaZorah. That's the official text, to preserve the official text of the Sefer Torah. Okay, so there's a question what the reading, what the girsa should be in the Chumash. So you have to check the Sifrei HaZorah. And that is the Mokam, basically, is the Mokam of the Bezna HaGodol. Bezna HaGodol are the Iker of Torah Shebal Peh. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, Iker Torah Shebal Peh, Amuri HaHoiroh. And the Beis HaMikdash is Kibesei Beis Tfilah Yikori. It's the Mokam of Tfilah. The scent of all the Tfilahs go through the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why the Gemara learns that from that Pasuk, Am Kiezev HaShaveh, V'yom Shechor Beis HaMikdash, Ninalu Shari Tfilah. So that's why we don't daven the Ila on Tisha B'Av, even though Tisha B'Av is clearly a din of a Tainus Sibra. But on Yom Kippur, we do recite the Ila because it's a Tainus, but Torah is Tainus. On Leil Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara recommends that people should eat certain fruits or vegetables that represent ideas of Ribui Schuyais and Mechilas Avainais and Yitamus Aneinu and so on. What is this all about? So the Gemara says, we have a din Losa Nachshev Losa Aneinu. You're not allowed to do nichush. So if a person thinks that by dipping his apple in honey and by dipping his chal in honey, he's going to be blessed with a sweet year. And if he doesn't dip the apple in the honey or the chal in the honey, the year will not be that sweet. So that's a violation of nichush, loisa nachashu. But if a person dips the apple in honey and so on, and he offers a tefillah, the Gemara says, simon mil sehi. That's not a violation of nichush. He's not placing anything on it. So what is it all about? It's not nichush, what is it? So the Nesivis has in his Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, he quotes the Ramban al Torah, that there are two types, two levels of nevuah. Sometimes there's a nevuah with a poel dimion. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells the Navi to act out something. Go to sleep on your left side, then in the middle of the night, turn and go to sleep on your right side. Or he tells the Navi to take two branches of from a tree and hold the two branches together. Or he tells Yecheskel HaNavi he should take a bagel and burn it, broil it, burn it, and eat it, and so on. So whenever the Navi is asked to act something out, that's called a nevuah with a poel dimyon. So that's a higher level of nevuah. That's considered a stronger nevuah. Mashenikin, if it's a nevuah without a poel dimyon, so then if it's a nevuah lera, may not necessarily happen, may not necessarily be fulfilled. So the Nesivis suggests that just like there's such a thing as a nevuah with a poel dimyon as opposed to a nevuah without a poel dimyon, so he thinks there are two levels of tefillah. That if you offer he thinks that the ikar by dipping the challah and honey or the apple and honey or eating all of these fruits and vegetables, the ikar really is the tefillah. And so on. But if you dip it in honey or you eat these fruits or vegetables, you're acting out the bakosha that you're asking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that elevates the tefillah to a higher level. That is called the tefillah with a pearl dimyan, is considered a stronger tefillah. So that's the minig based on the Gemara. Not that we place reliance on this simon, that because we did the simon, therefore we're going to be blessed with a good year. Not necessarily so. Just that it strengthens the tefillah. It's considered a stronger form of tefillah. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, a mitzvah in the Torah to blow shofar. Many years ago, maybe 40 years ago, some goyishe firm in Ukraine, I think it was selling shofars all over the world, and they were fantastic. The koilas were fantastic, and people couldn't believe it. How'd they get such a gewaldige shofar? So it turns out they researched it. It turns out Anachri didn't realize that the shofar has to be in its original form. So he bought up a lot of shofars. He melted them. If you heat it enough, the material will melt. And he poured it into a form. And the form had the perfect shape of a shofar. And it was very easy to blow the shofar. And they were all the shofars were exactly the same. Needless to say, this is pasul. The Gemara says, if it's a major shinui, the shofar is not in its original form. Let's say you have a shofar and you heated it a little bit. You didn't heat it so much till it melted. Heated a little bit. So instead of blowing from the narrow part and the sad coming out from the wide part, he does fakert. He makes the wide part the narrow part, and the narrow thing, he makes it wider and he blows backwards. So Gemara said that's no good because he changed the shape of the shofar. So here we have melted all of the material. He took 100 shofars, he melted everything, and he poured everything back into a metal form, and each one was formed perfectly. So that's mamish nishtana, so it's possible. So at that time, the chief rabbi at the Eretz Yisrael recommended that nobody should buy a shofar unless it has a hechsher from a prominent rabbi who knows that it's authentic, that it's not a fake, that it wasn't melted. I haven't heard that the scandal is back with us again now, but that's what happened years ago. If you melt the shofar and you improve it, so that's shofar shenishtana, is not going to be kosher. That's a beferish adin. The Mishnah has in third parak in Rosh Hashanah, kol shofar ksherim, chutz mishofar shel para. What's wrong with the shofar shel para? So the Gemara gives different reasons. So one of the reasons is that in katega nasa sanega. What's the katega? There was a cheto egel, and the egel and the para belonged to the same family. Yeah, but the cheto egel wasn't a real egel. It was an egel hazohov. So it wasn't real. It wasn't a real egel. And the shofar shel para, this is not the para which Bnei Yisrael sinned with. The sin with the cheto egel was a golden calf. It had nothing to do with this shofar shel para. So nonetheless, we stretch the idea. We say, en katega nasa sanega, since the shofar shel para belongs to the same family officially as the egel azov, even though that's a real shofar shel para, from a real para, and this is an egel azov, it belongs to the same family. So the Gemara says this definition of en katega nasa sanega, this chumra, only applies lifnai v'lifnim. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he doesn't wear big day zohav because the chet of the egel azov was done with zohav. And to wear big day zohav, when he goes in lefnai v'lefnim, that's en katega nasa sanega. What does that zohav have to do with this zohav? The zohav that's in the big day kohen gadol that he wears every day, the big day kohen gadol, that has nothing to do with the egel azov, but belongs to the same family of zohav. So since it's talking about the kohen gadol going into the Kodesh Kodashim, lefnai v'lefnim, so you have a more chumadik definition of what's en katega nasa sanega. If you're not dealing with lifnai v'lifnim, you're dealing bachutz, then you only apply en katega nasa sanega to a mitzvah bo ba'aver. It means, let's say, if you have a shofar, if you have a lulav ha'gozel. So the Babli calls it mitzvah bo ba'aver. The Yishalmi calls it en katega nasa sanega. What do you mean en katega nasa sanega? If the lulav is a lulav agozel, someone did an avera of gzela, and that labels the lulav, the gazlan has a kinyan gzela. Halach lemaisa, gazlan is chai beyonsin. If the lulav disappears because he has a kinyan gzela. So that's the definition of en katega nasa neger all over the world. If nai v'lifnim is more serious, more chumris. But usually the definition of en katega nasa neger is mitzvah b'aver means if something is a cheftza shel aver, means aver was actually violated with this object, and because of the avera, the object was labeled as such, was labeled differently. Let's say the Rambam had in the Pirush HaMishnayos on lulav agozel, the Rambam had the girsa in the Gemara that lulav shel asheira is also en katega nasa sanega. Tosis doesn't like that girsa. Tosis in Sukkah is not happy with that girsa. Tosis gives the definition of mitzvah baba avera. The avera enabled the person to do the mitzvah. But the Rambam doesn't hold like that. The Rambam's definition seems to be that. The Ritva has that definition. A cheftza shel avera can't be used as a cheftza shel mitzvah. Ein avera mitzvah. what's called a chefetz shel aver. Someone did an avera that caused the lulav to be labeled as a dover shel aver. There's a kinyan zela on the lulav. It's metatlim karka, and exelus means despite the fact that there's an isa leisigzol, if he's still karka, but there's no kinyan zela on karka. So let's say a gozel, if I build the sukkah, I moved over the fence, I stole my next door neighbor's field, and I built the sukkah on his field. So the din is that a sukkah needs the fanas, it needs chach, and it needs a floor. The halacha says the sukkah needs a floor. Not only because if you don't have a floor, you're going to fall through. The halacha requires, just like you need a roof, you need a floor. So if the din, according to the Tana, Rav Lezer, the Tana holds the karka and exelus. According to Rav Lezer, if I build a sukkah in my next door neighbor's backyard and I don't let him use the yard, the sukkah, so a karka and exelus, I have a kinyan zela on the karka, so that'll be a mitzvah b'avera. We pask in karka and an exelus, despite the fact that you violated lo sigzol, but you don't have kinyan exelus. If you don't have kinyan exelus, then it's not called enkategan asaneg. It's not called a cheftu shel avera. So with respect to kol ha-terukula, it depends on whether avera was done with this particular object that caused the object to be labeled as a cheftu shel avera. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi has, the Rishonim quote the Yerushalmi, let's say the first night Pesach falls out on Shabbos and someone wants to have the Seder in the park, so he carries the matzahs in the Rishus HaRabim. So because he carried the matzahs are labeled, he violated Hoytzo on Shabbos, he violated the Malacha on Shabbos. But that doesn't label the matzahs as a cheftzah shel aver. He did an aver with it. If you have a lulav gozel, so then the cheftz of the lulav is called gozel. They're a kinyan exela. But if you have karka in an exela, despite the fact that you're in violation of the lav of leisigzol, but the cheftz is not labeled as a cheftz shel aver. It doesn't have any effect on the cheftz. So that's what the Gemara said. That's the definition of en kategan asanegan kol ha-tarikula. But when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim or on Yom Kippur, or when one blows shofar all over the world, so the Gemara says, "Came into the zikaron kaasi kelifnim dami." Since the whole purpose of tkiyah shofar is v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem alakechem, so tkiyah shofar is like tefillah, we're davening lifnei Hashem. So therefore, whenever you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's considered, the Rambam writes a loshen hilchas tefillah, a person who davens should daven in such a way he should have the feeling as if he's standing at Bashamayim in the presence of the Shekhinah. So that's what the Gemara says, Kevin the Zikaron Kosei Kelefnim Dami, since the purpose of the Tkiyah Shofar is Tfilah, so it's considered as if a mamish in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that whenever you lefnei Hashem, lefnei v'lefnim, like in the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, or whenever you belong Shofar, whenever you're davening, so then we have a more strict definition of en kategan and asas anega. Whenever the thing is a cheftza shel aver, means it belongs to the same family. So golden bigde zohav, gold belongs to the family of the egel azov. It's not the same gold. The bigde zohav of the Kohen Gadol are not the gold that was used for Bnei Yisrael to worship the chet egel. But gold belongs to the golden begodim, belongs to the same family as gold in the bigde zohav of the Kohen Gadol. And the same shofar shel para, officially belongs to the same family as the Egel Azov. They're not related. The Egel Azov was Zohav, and this is a real Parah. But still, the Parah and the Egel belong to the same family, so since it's Lefnai v'Lefnim, you have a more strict definition of what's called Den Kategan and Asangani. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. So it's interesting that when we blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah all over the world, New York, New Jersey, wherever we are, it's considered as if a mamish lifnai v'lifnim. The Rambam writes, whenever you daven, it's considered as if you're bashamayim, mamish in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban had a runaway. The Ramban had a famous debate with the Meshumad, and then he won the debate, but he had a runaway from Spain because the Catholic Church was going to kill him. So he ran to Eretz Yisrael at that time. And he came to Yerushalayim and he held a drasha on Rosh Hashanah. He must have held the drasha for hours and hours and hours. He wrote up the whole drasha. So he went through all the dinim of Rosh Hashanah, all the topics of Rosh Hashanah. So he has in his drasha, the Rosh Hashanah, he brings out the idea, what does the word shofar mean? So he says it's Miloshin Shvoferis. Shvoferis is a tube. So he says, if you have an animal that has a horn that's solid material, there's no flesh inside, and you drill a hole in it, that's not kosher for a shofar. Shofar is only kosher if it has the horn on the outside and has flesh in the inside, and you scrape out the flesh in the inside. It's like a shvoferis that has basar in the middle. You scrape out the flesh, and then it looks like a shvoferis. But if you had to drill a hole in it, the thing wasn't, in the first place, it wasn't a shvoferis. So by definition, that's not called a shofar. The Ran on the Rif, on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, writes a sofek. If you have a non-kosher animal that has a horn, would that be acceptable for the mitzvah of shofar? Because the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin makes a statement that the Tachash, when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Mishkan and the Midbar, so they need an Oris Tchoshim Atzei Shitim. What are Oris Tchoshim? So the Gemara says Tachash was an animal that existed in the days of the Mishkan. It doesn't exist anymore today. But the Gemara says, we know for sure that it must have been a kosher animal because Gemiri, you have Halacha Moshe Misinai, perhaps that's usually Gemara Gemiri law. Usually Rashi and Tosfos say that means we have Halacha Moshe Misinai. L'huchshiru l'malach ha-shamayim el'ar behemet Torah b'lvad. Whenever the Halacha requires some natural item from an animal, it has to be from a kosher animal. So the Halacha says you need a shofar from an animal. You can't make an imitation shofar from plastic or from something else. So since you need from an animal, so the Ran is mesupik, maybe you need or beimator, maybe it has to be dafka from a kosher animal. Why is the Ran mesupik? The Ramah misquotes a little bit around the Ramah quotes that the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes. The Ran says that it's no good. The Ram wrote he's mesupik, whether it's good or not. Why was there a sofik? It is a din in the Gemara, huchshul ha-malech ha-shamayim alor beimator belvat. So in the Tshuvas Torah Chesed, Torah Chesed was right by Rav Shneur Zalman from, not the Alter Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman from Lublin. The practice used to be in Eastern Europe, when Rabbanim would retire, a lot of times they would move to Yerushalayim. So the one who wrote the Torah Chesed also, in his old age, he retired, he went to Yerushalayim, and then he printed the Sefer Torah Chesed. So he has several of the Shabbos Agorot Roshes and several of the Shabbos Shuvah Pilpulim. So one of the Shabbos Shuvah Pilpulim is on this topic. Why was the Ran Misupik, whether a shofar from a Behemoth Meir is acceptable? So he says, because the Gemara says, L'huchshu l'malecha shamayim alor behemoth tor belvad. The Gemara talks about Ritzuas for Tfilin. The Gemara talks about Orist Choshim for the Mishkan. These are all Tashmishi Kedusha. Masha'ini came to Shofar is only Tashmishi Mitzvah. It's not Tashmishi Kedusha. So that was a suffix in the Ran. Maybe the Din L'huchshu l'malecha shamayim alor behemoth tor belvad has to be from a kosher animal. Maybe it only applies when you're dealing with Tashmishi Kedusha. Maybe it doesn't apply when you're dealing with Tashmishi Mitzvah. There's a Rabbeinu Tam that all the Rishonim quote in Perek Mitzvah's Chalitza, that the Chalitza shoe is a Machlekes Hatanoim. Does it have to be leather or not? Where Machmer has to be leather? Other, it can't be socks. It has to be something that's Megan. That's for sure. Otherwise, Cholza Nala Mi'al Raga Nal has to be Adova HaMegan. But sneakers are also Megan. You can have Crocs on Megan, but it's not leather. So that's a Machlekes Hatanoim. Machlekes Neged to Yom Kippur, Nilos HaSandal, is it only prohibited to wear Nilos HaSandal if it's a sandal shel or made from leather? That's the Psak HaMekubal and Shulchan. Same thing during Shiva. A Tisha B'Av, one is not permitted to have Nilos HaSandal. Is it only if it's a leather shoe or even any shoe that's Megan? So that was a Machlekes Hatanoim. So if one should assume it has to be dafka leather, then the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitz and Yevamos, has to be or behemoth tohira. The leather shoe that you do use for chalitza has to be made from a kosher animal. So that's what Darach HaShulchan points out, and the Torah's Chesed in his Tshuva also points it out. This was his Shabbos Shuvah drasha that he wants to live in, that the chalitza shoe is a tashmishe mitzvah. It's not a tashmishe kedusha. There's no kedusha to the chalitza shoe, but it's a tashmishe mitzvah. So that was the suffix in Iran, where the huchshul amalecha shamayim only applies to tashmishe kedusha, or even applies to tashmishe mitzvah. And the Ramah is machmer on that. It has to be dafke from a behemoth tahira. Because of the pandemic, so many are concerned if the Baal Tekeh is going to blow shofar, he may be carrying this virus. And by blowing the shofar b'koyach, the virus may fly out b'koyach in the air and bump into other people. So that's why some insist that just like the government doctors recommend people should walk around with a mask when they cover their mouth and they cover their nose. So maybe you should put a mask on the wide opening of the shofar, so when the kol shofar goes out, if the Baal Tekeh happens to be a carrier of this virus, you shouldn't infect other people with this virus. So see, people have a taina that it changes the kol shofar. It definitely does change the kol shofar. It softens it. It's not at all as loud as it would have otherwise been. But the pashtus says that that's not, I think that doesn't pose a problem. Let's say a person, the Baal Tekeh is blowing shofar in shul, and someone standing outside of the shul, but the sound of the shofar is so powerful, it goes through the door. So let's say the building is mafsik, and the windows are closed, but the sound still goes outside. So because it's on, the person is standing in the street, Baal Tekeh is blowing shofar in the shul, so because the sound goes through the window, goes through the wall, so it's going to be softened. It's not going to be as powerful as it would have been if it wouldn't be going through the wall. So that's not a problem. That's clear that the sound is going to be softened. It's not going to be as powerful as in the shul. That's not a problem. The only time it's a problem is if the formation of the kol was made with the assistance of something else that was attached to the shofar. But here, when you put the mask on the tip of the shofar, it's gonna cause the sound, the blast of the shofar, to be softer, but the blast of the shofar is already created before it goes through the mask. It's not that the mask helps form the sound of the shofar. If you have something added on the bottom of the shofar where the sound is formed, when you blow the shofar, so the sound is formed because of the narrow passageway in the middle of the shofar. And if you have something, a rubber band or something around the outside of the shofar, where the sound is being formed, so that it's going to be called shofar, but called davar acher, mixed in together. But when you have the mask is ready on the outside of the shofar, on the open part, the sound is already formed and is being mitigated, is being softened when it goes through the mask. I don't think that's a problem. The pashtus says that that's like a person standing outside. And then here's the tkir shofar, so it's going to be softened. Yeah, the Mishnah says in Megillah that whenever there's a dover shemitzvah sevayom l'chatchili, you shouldn't fulfill the mitzvah before haneitzacham, even on yikra din, after alos ha-shachar is vadayom, but still l'chatchili, one should not fulfill the mitzvah until after haneitzacham. What kind of a din l'chatchili is that? So Rashi on the Mishnah learns that it's only a din midirabbanan, because if you'll permit people to do the mitzvah after alos hashachar, you can barely discern that it is alos hashachar. It's still pitch black outside; you can hardly see anything. So if you'll allow people to blow shofar, to say halal, or to shake a lulav, or to do a bris milah so early in the morning after alos hashachar, next thing you know is that people will make a mistake. Not everybody's in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have a clock in every shul. Today, every shul has a clock and every other person wears a watch, more than every other person wears a watch. You look in the newspaper, it tells you what time is, Haneitzach Hama. So you can look on the clock, look on your watch, you'll know when it's going to be Haneitzach Hama. So today, it doesn't make sense to have such a gzeira. But in the days of the Tanaim, it was very imprecise. They didn't have a newspaper that says what time the sun is going to rise. So a person, if you'll permit people to do the Dovish and Mitzvah Sabayam, the Tilas Lula, but Kiyah Shofar, or whatever other reciting of Halala, performing the Bris Milah, if you'll permit people to do it before Haneitzach Hama, as long as it's after Alos HaShachar, they may by mistake do it before Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is very hard to discern. And that's what Rashi learns, that this L'chatchila in the Mishnah, L'chatchila is not proper to recite Halal before Haneitzach Hama, is only l'chatchila midrabbanan, it's not minatur. Rav Soloveitchik was explaining why there's room to hold that it's a real din deraisa. Some they have in the Yerushalmi that I use at home. It has a pirish and brachas only from the Baal Sefer Haredim. Sefer Haredim was a little after Rabbi Yosef Karo, I think, in the 1500s. That's Sfaradish Gadol. So they have a pirish on the Yerushalmi. He presents it. Not like Rashi, he presented that that could be a lachatchila deraisa, that you shouldn't do a davish mitzvah sabayayim before hanetzachama, because the full din yom, there are two dinim of yom alayla. There's one din that depends on light and darkness, another din that yom is when there's light, and there's another din, yom, when the sun is shining, as opposed to in between alos hashachar and hanetzachama, the sun is not shining, but there's a lot of light outside in the street. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that there's room to understand the Mishnah like the Sefer Haredim has, that maybe that din l'chatchila is a l'chatchila deraisa, that the davish mitzvah sabayim should be fulfilled by yom when it's a full din of yom. Not just that there's light outside, but rather that that the sun is shining already. Could be that that's a l'chatchila deraisa. Yeah, how is everybody yotzei with kiyah shofar, the Baal Tekeh blows and everybody's yotzei? So the Avni Nezer had a brother who was also very learned, and he wrote a letter to the Avni Nezer that he remembers hearing from the father. Father was also a Chassidish Rebbe, big Talmud Chacham. He remembers hearing from the father that the whole Tzibur is Yotze based on Shemei Kohenah. So the Avni Nezer sends him back a letter. How can it be Shemei Kohenah? Let's say you're going to clap Haman, you're going to make noise. Instead of everybody clapping Haman, one person will clap Haman. He'll have a mind to be Moitzi. Everybody will say, Shemei Kohen, I heard the racket, I heard the noise that he made. He banged on the table, he banged on the floor, he swiveled the grogger. So I'm Yotzi, Shemei Kohen. Since I heard the noise, it's considered as if I made the noise myself. So the Avnei Nezer thinks that Alpi Pashtus, you don't apply Shemei Kohen just to making noise. He thinks that you are. So how is anybody yotze with Kiyah Shofar if you don't say Shemei Kohenah? So the Avnei Nezer kvetches, and he thinks that it's based on shlichas. Everybody in the shul appointed the Baal Tekeh as the shliach. He should be motzei everybody with the Kiyah Shofar. This is a problem because we know that I can't appoint someone else as a shliach to shake a lula for me. Can't appoint someone else as a shliach to wear tefillin for me. So manashtana over here. How come I can appoint someone as a shliach to blow shofar on my behalf, if the mitzvah is to blow shofar? So the Avnei Nezer works on that, and he thinks that the brother must have forgotten. It can't be. It's not. It cannot be that the whole tzibur is yotzit kir shofar based on Shemei Kohenah. Doesn't think that it's right. Then in a later letter, all the letters are dated, and a later letter he backs out, and he says no. He thinks that the brother was probably right. It is based on Shemei Kohenah because when you blow shofar, it's a form of tefillah. It's a form of tefillah. So there is content. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all of our needs. We don't say explicitly what, but that's what the Gemara says. Rosh Hashanah is described in the Chumash as Yom Teruah Metargamina. The Targum Unkle says, Yom Yabava, a day of crying. What do you mean crying? So the Gemara says in Hazov that there are two levels of davening. There's davening, just reciting the words, and it's tefillah she'eshim ha'demoy. So if you have tefillah, if the person davens with great sincerity over a serious issue, that's a tefillah she'eshim ha'demoy, then it's a higher level of tefillah. Even though miyam shachar beis hamikdash neno lu shari tefillah, shari tefillah, but shari demoy is loinin alam. So that's what Kiyah Shofar is all about. Kiyah Shofar sounds like a sobbing sound, like a crying sound, to enhance the tefillah. That's why we blow shofar at the end of Malchus Gona Shofar. The concluding paragraph on each one of those three brachas ends off with a bakasha. Locha kol olam kula b'chvedecha, zochen mizikaran tov l'fanecha. And what's shofar? Tka b'shev v'gov l'chem yisenu. So we enhance the tefillah by blowing shofar. The kol ha-shofar sounds like a crying sound. So that's what the Avnei Nezer came around to the thinking of his brother. The brother quoted from the father that the Baal Tekeh is Moitzi, the whole Tzibur based on Shemei Kohenah, because there is content. You're not saying, you're not pronouncing words, but there is a content. It's really a tefillah. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take all of to take care of all of our needs. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah makes a comment that we blow much more tkiyas than we're really required to. Why do we blow way more than when is necessary? Mikra, then you only have to blow tkiyah tkua three times. We blow mea kailas. There's a quote from the Orach, and we blow mea kailas. Why so much? So the Gemara says, Kedela arbeves ha-sotan. How exactly are you my arbeves ha-sotan? So I think Rashi writes on the Gemara that the sotan is mekatreg, that the Jews are lazy, we're not interested in doing mitzvahs. And we demonstrate that it's not true. We go above and beyond what he required of us to do. We love the mitzvah so much, we confuse the sotan, our bevis are sotan. Sotan wants to be mekatrig. We don't appreciate the mitzvahs. We don't like the mitzvahs. Here we do above and beyond what we're obligated to do. So the Rishonim Abada, Tesis, and other Rishonim Abada with the question, why isn't this a violation of Bal Tesif? The Torah tells you how much you have to do. So what are you doing more than what you have to do? So the Balei HaTesis give different shades of answers. So the Balei HaTesis give the following marshal. Let's say a sukkah is kosher if you have shtayim kehilchosam, you have two definers at a right angle to each other. Ushlishes afilu tefa. What if you make a normal sukkah with four walls? So you violated Balei HaTesis. The Tesis says, no. Shtayim kehilchosam, two definers at a right angle to each other. That's a minimum. But a normal sukkah is when you have four walls. The Pashtus is perhaps the same by Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi and Chumash quotes in the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, he should do v'samachta siyotcha olav. He should put one hand on Yeshua and confer smichatim. Moshe Rabbeinu put both hands on Yeshua. So why is that a violation of Bal Tosef? So the Pashtus is the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you should do, the minimum is you should at least put one hand. Not necessary to put both hands, but if you do both hands, about it, it's good. He did more than the minimum. And if you do more than the minimum, the rest that you do is also nitvas as a chelik and a mitzvah. And sometimes it'll be docha yontav, sometimes it'll be docha Shabbos. Take, for example, the Netziv and his hakdamah to his commentary on the Haggadah Shel Pesach quotes the Tosfos in the first parak in Chagiga, that Mi'ikra din, a person doesn't have to bring a Shalmei Chagiga all by himself. He can join with another 100 people. They'll all be shutfim in one carbon. Each one will give $10, $5, $10, and they'll be shutfim in a carbon Shalmei Chagiga. If the person is very wealthy and he has a lot of people who will eat up the carbon, you can't bring a carbon. If you don't have enough people to eat it, it'll become nipsa belina, become noisar. It'll become puzzle. So let's say he wants to bring five shlomim on yontif. So the Gemara says he can, Tosis learns pshat in the Gemara, he's permitted to bring five shlomim on yontif. Even though it's a malacha to bring a korban on Shabbos or yontif, it's only mutter if it's the korban shizmana kavua. So he's mochiv to bring, so for Shabbos purposes, the definition of a korban shizmana kavua is, if it's over yom, a bottle carbon. If you wait till tomorrow, you lose out on the mitzvah. That's called the korban shezman kavua. In order to be mechal al yontif, to bring a korban al yontif, you don't require that it should be zman kavua in the sense of over yom, a bottle carbon. Over yom, a bottle carbon. In order to be doche yontif, if it's over zman, bottle carbon is enough. You can bring the shalmei chagiga on the first day yontif, on Chol HaMoed, on the last day yontif, whenever you want. But since it's over zmana batel karbonai, it's not over yom, over zmana batel karbonai, so that's a korban shezmana kavua, even though it's a brentnish, it doesn't have to be today. He has a long Chol HaMoed. He could have brought the shalmei chagiga on Chol HaMoed, but he's permitted to bring it on yontif because it's a korban shezmana kavua. So the Tosfos points out, what if he's a wealthy man and he has a big family, has a lot of people want to participate in eating Shalmei Chagiga? So he's permitted to bring five Shalmei Chagiga on Yontif. It's Doche Yontif. Why? Because the rest is also Nitfas as a Kiyum. The minimum is to become a Shutif with another 100 people on a Korban Shalmei Chagiga. But there's no maximum. If he wants, he can bring 20 Korbanas and they'll all be Shalmei Chagiga, and they'll just give them to different people to be able to eat everything up on the Yantif. So that's the Pashtus, that if you blow more than the bare minimum, that's not a violation of Baltasis. Not a violation of Baltasis. If you put on two Shalyads and two Shalroshes, that's not that you're doing more than the bare minimum. That's kakai. That's different. That's how you suffer. That's the Gemara in the last parak in Erevin, parak HaMotzi Tfilma. If a person wears two Shalyads, who wears two Shalroshes, so then Gemara said that's a violation of Baltasis. That's a question in Rishainim, Machlokes in the Rishainim, and the Machlokes in Achrainim, Rabbi Kedega points out. Is that Baltasiv deraisa or Baltasiv derabbanan? If he's going to put on the two shalyads, why? Because some of the Rishonim hold it can only be Baltasiv derabbanan, because on the level of deraisa, we would really say Hailuchu dekoi b'hailuchu dekoi. The Haisofer. Is not attached to the Iker HaMitzvah. If you're lulav tzorach eged, you're going to put roses or lilacs into the eged, that's going to be, you can't say hailuchu dikoy v'hailuchu dikoy. But the way we pass on the lulav ain't tzorach eged, so there's nothing that's mitzarek to haisofer to the Iker HaMitzvah. So that's two deis and taisus and two different mesichtes, whether that's going to be, if you wear two shalyads or two shalroshes, but they're not attached to each other, I'm wearing them both on the same arm at the same time, but they're not attached, that could be, that's 2 days, whether that's Baltaisa, Deraisa, Derabonim. But over here, the Pashtus is, the Sefer Yireim writes on this question, why isn't Tkiyas the Miyushav, Tkiyas the Miyumad, we're blowing much more than is necessary. So why are we not in violation of Baltaisa? So Rav Lezer Mimitz writes in Sefer Yireim, because in the Chumash it says, Yom Tru Yelachem, sounds like all day long, he's supposed to be blowing Shofar. So the halacha, the Torah Shabbat Pat tells us what the minimum. Minimum is you have to blow tkiyah, true tkiyah, 3 times. That's it. But there's no maximum. You can have all day long, can be yom true yelachem. So that's what the Netziv says. Let's say the first night of Pesach, you're obligated to eat a kezayis of matzah, for the mitzvah of matzah, be'er of tochel matzah. He says if you eat 10 kezayis, it's all nitfas as a chelik of the mitzvah. Doesn't enhance the mitzvah. Doesn't make the mitzvah more of a kiyum mitzvah. You yotze the mitzvah of eating matzah, but the extra that you ate is nitvas is all considered a chelik of the mitzvah of matzah. So the same, let's say, if you perform a bris milah, Rabbi Yosef Engel gives, and he once gave a drasha, I think for Pesach, a Shabbos Hagadol drasha, the long arichas on this topic. So he quotes the din in the Gemara that if a moel is performing a bris on Shabbos, when you perform a bismillah on a baby on Shabbos, that constitutes a malach. But if it's a mila bismana, then it's decha Shabbos and decha yont. Mila shle bismana is not decha Shabbos, not decha yont. So the Gemara says, what if you did a mila bismana? So mikra din, if you cut off basar chayfes roiv ha-torah, the membrane that covers roiv of the eva hazachrus. So if you cut off roiv, so the bismillah is kosher l'chatchila. The Gemara says, "Mishum zekele v'anveu." It's a hida mitzvah. You should cut off the entire or ha'orla, not just cut off or ha'choifes roiv ha'torah. So that's lachatchila misham mitzvah menamuvcha. So what if the moel finished the bris milah and he already put on a bandage and then he realizes, but he didn't fulfill the hida mitzvah of cutting off the miut? So the Gemara says, "If gomar, if silek yoda, he already put on the bandage." Then he's going to take off the bandage on Shabbos and cut some more to do even the basar chayfes miut haTorah. So then the Gemara said that's an act of chilul Shabbos. But if lo silek yoda, he didn't put on the bandage yet. He cut off the basar chayfes roiv haTorah, and then he sees there's still a little bit of basar chayfes miut haTorah. It's not ma'akiv in the bris milah, but you're not mekayim the mitzvah b'shleimusa. The Hida mitzvah is to cut off even a bas al chayfes miyot haTorah. So calls man shelo silek yodai, he's permitted to be mechal Shabbos with the malacha deraisa to cut some more. That's a chilul Shabbos deraisa because it's considered as if he still didn't finish the bris milah. So the same is true regarding matzah. If you eat more than a kezayis, it's all nitfas as a chelik of the mitzvah. And the same is true regarding purchasing the korban olas riyah and the shalmei chagiga. The halacha gives you the minimums. And the same is by Tkiyah Shofar. The minimum is to blow three times Tkiyah Teruah Tkiyah. But even after he blew that, if he wants to blow some more, Yom Teruah Yelachem, he can blow all day long, and it's all, everything that he's going to add on is considered that it's nitvas as an integral part of the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. In the Balei HaTosfos, there was a machlokes, the Rabbi Natam and other Rishonim regarding Tashrat. The Gemara says that we treat it like a Sfeiket Adina. What is the correct form of Trua? One Tana is of the opinion that it's what we call Trua, two. One Tana is of the opinion it's what we call Shvarim. Third Tana says it's the combination of both, Shvarim, Trua. So Misafik, so Rabbi Bo made a Takana when he lived in the city in Kisrin, Kesaria. He made a Takana that you should blow three times Tkiyah Teruah Tkiyah, all the three logical possibilities. Tashrat three times, Tashat three times, and Tarat three times. So the Rabbi Natam had a machlekes, but to other Rishonim, what's the story with Shvarim Chua? Do you treat it as one kol, or you treat it as two different kolos? My nafkamina, so one nafkamina is, a few nafkaminas, one nafkamina is, does it have to be b'shtei neshimas, or does it have to dafka be the neshima achas? If it's one kol, Mistaber that it has to be Beneshim Achas. And if it's not one call, Mistaber makes more sense that it should be Dafke and Shtei Neshimas. Because of that Machlekes, the Mechaber recommends that you should do half of them Beneshim Achas, half of them Shtei Neshimas. Rav Soloveitchik's practice used to be that he blew everything Beneshim Achas because he felt that that's the Iker. The Iker, the Psak Halach really is that Tashrat should be Beneshim Achas. But then, instead of blowing Mea Kolos, perhaps, he used to blow 102 Kolos. So after Kaddish Diskabel, after Musaf is all over, he would have the Batekeh blow instead of Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, to be Mashlim, the Mea Kolos, because by Rav Soloveitchik, they would blow 30 Kolos before Musaf, 30 Kolos in the Shtilish Man Esrei, 30 Kolos in Chazar Sashat, 30 is 90. And then, instead of blowing Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, after Musaf, that would be another 10 koilas, adds up to 100, he would blow Tashrat, Tashrat, Tashrat three times, B'shtei Neshimas. Rav Soloveitchik followed the Shita, not like the Ramah. Then the Iker Adin really should be B'neshim Achas. So both the Tkiyas before Musaf and the Tkiyas in the middle of the Shtilish Man Esrei, and the Tkiyas in the middle of Chazar Sashat, everything was B'shtei Neshimas. And then during the Kaddish at the conclusion of the Musaf, so then they would blow three times Tashrat B'shtei Neshimas. But look, this, we do all the logical possibilities to make sure that for Yotze for sure. On Rosh Hashanah, the meaning is that we say many piyut, and we always open up the Aron Kodesh, and everybody stands. So there's a discussion in Poskim, why does everybody stand? Because the Sefer Torah is visible. So the Pashtus says you only have to stand if someone, first of all, the Sefer Torah is in your Rishus. By us, the Sefer Torah is in the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh is a separate room. It's a Rishus Bifnei Atzmai. Why? Because it's 10 Tvachim tall. It's always 10 tefachim tall. It has dala tefachim inside. It's mamish like a cheder b'fnei atzmai. Like it has the dimensions of rishus ayachid. So the Sefer Torah is not in our rishus. It's in a different room, and the room adjacent to the shul. Number two, even if the chazan would be holding the Sefer Torah in the shul, but he's not walking with the Sefer Torah, he's standing still. So let's say the chazan is benching Rosh Chodesh and he's standing still. The din does not require that everyone has to stand. Because if the chazan is walking, someone is carrying the Sefer Torah, walking with it, then you have to stand. But if the person is in a standing position, he's at rest, he's not walking, then you're not mechuyev to stand. So why is the common practice everybody stands when they say all the piyutim, when they open up the Aron Kodesh? So Rav Moshe Feinstein was makbid. In his old age, it was too difficult for him to keep on standing so much. So he saw to it that they shouldn't open up the Aron Kodesh too much, that the two doors of the Aron Kodesh should be loved to each other, and it should be considered as if the doors were closed. He acted as if it's really a din. You have to stand when the Sefer Torah is visible. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's this is only a minig. If Torah is in another rishus, and then no one's carrying it, no one's moving it, it's standing still. So mikra din, you don't have to stand at all. Mikra din, you can sit. So why is it that everybody stands? He didn't think that you're standing out of respect to the Sefer Torah. He thought that you're standing perhaps because the piyut constitutes a dovish abigdush. And the Magen Avraham says that based on that, Yerushalmi, by Ehud Ben Gera, that you mentioned before, by Ehud, that he told the Goyish Melech, Dvar Lekim Di Elecha, and he stood up. So you see that you're supposed to stand whenever you recite a dovish abigdusha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. Maybe the fact that we stand when we open up the Ark Kodesh, not so much because the Ark Kodesh, because of the Sefer Torah, but rather because the piyut itself constitutes a dovish abigdusha. What's haista dovish abigdusha? What constitutes a dovish abigdusha? Rav Soloveitchik wasn't sure what the definition is. He thought maybe it means like a baruch hu, a kedusha, a kaddish. Whenever you give a shebach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, neither in the form of a pasuk nor in the form of a bracha. You say kadosh, 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 it's not a full pasuk. When you say Hashem, Hashem, kelrachem hachanon, you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the 13 meters HaChesed, but you don't finish the sentence. You end off in akei. You don't finish the sentence. So that's not in the form of a pasuk, nor in the form of a bracha. So whenever you have a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, neither in the form of a bracha, nor in the form of a pasuk, so it could be that that's to be defined as a dovish abigdusha that should require amidah. Rav Soloveitchik just said, when do you have to really stand the ikra din, the din of the Gemara? So the Gemara says, when the chazan on Yom Kippur is reciting the Seidu HaBaida, and the chazan recites vidui, and the chazan says vidui in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, the Gemara says, mikra din, let's see, but we are meaning that we say along. But Medina the Gemara, Mikra Din, you don't have to say the video alone. It's just the Chazan says Vidui. But the Gemara says that's Mikra Din. The whole Tzibur has to stand when the Chazan says Vidui. So Rav Soloveitchik said, if you have all the people who find it too difficult to stand, so you can tell them they can stand every time they open up the Aron Kodesh and they say the Piyutim, tell them they don't have to stand for that. Maybe the whole standing is only because the reciting of the Piyut is a Dovish Rigdush. So that's why if you keep that in mind, let's say a lot of people are still not going out. They're not going to shul. So they're going to daven at home. If they daven at home, they really shouldn't say the piyutim that they say in shul. It could be the piyutim constituted dovish abigdusha, and you need dasara to say the piyutim. It could be that they have the status of a dovish abigdusha. When we say that b'tishrei nivra ha'olam, hayom harasolam, that Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world, there was Sheshes Mei Bereshis. So which of the Sheshes Mei Bereshis was Rosh Hashanah? So we assume that's Bria Sodom Arishon. The world started to be created 5 days before Chaf Hei Elul. And on what we call Rosh Hashanah, on Echad B'Tishrei, that's when Adam Arishon was created. Everything before Adam Arishon was prehistoric because there was nobody there to see what was coming into existence. And according to the Medrash that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the same day Adam Arishon was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him of the seven mitzvahs, of the mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He only had six. He didn't have the din of Eiv Menachah yet because he had to be a vegetarian. So there was nothing to discuss about eating and not allowed to eat flesh at all. But after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted Noach to eat basar. So when he allowed Noach to eat basar, then he told him, make sure you don't eat Eiv Menachai. But Adam Rishon wasn't given the din of Eiv Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian. He wasn't permitted to eat basar, to eat flesh. So the Medrash says, Pirkei D'Rabbi said, the same day Adam Rishon was created, he was nitztave on the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. He was nitztave ha'irua shor, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the Ramban, the beginning of Chulin. Well, it's a very fascinating medrash that if Adam Arishon would have waited till Leil Shabbos, till Friday night, it would have been permissible to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't have enough self-control to hold himself back even from the time he was in Tztave on Erev Shabbos till Leil Shabbos. He didn't have self-control to avoid violation of the eating of the Eitz Hadas. And the Medrash has an expression, "Mi gala ofer me'enecha Adam Arishan." Someone should really dig out Adam Arishan. He's buried there at the Maris HaMachpelah. We should dig him out and take the offer off of his eyes. He'll be able to look at the Jewish people. The Jewish people shech the behema. They don't eat the flesh right away. They check to make sure there are no sirchas on the reyah. That's what the Ramban quotes. The Medrash is only worried about sirchas on the reyah, not worried about all the other treifas. There are 70 different treifas. So why does the Medrash only say, we wait, we have self-control, we wait till we check for sirchas on the reyah? What about the other 69 treifas? So the Ramban says, it's his pshat, Ramban says that the other 69 are not so common. It's a miut she'ena motzei, but sirchas on the reyah, that's a miut ha-motzei. So there's a din mid-rabbanon, the Rabban says, not a din d'oraisa, there's a din mid-rabbanon that you have to be boidek to make sure that you're not violating an avera if it's a miut ha-motzei. So that's what the Medrash says. Adam Rishon didn't have self-control. If we'll dig up Adam Rishon now, mi'gach me'enech Adam Rishon, we should dig him up from his grave, and take off the dust on his eyes and let him see the Jewish people. We don't eat the meat right away. When we shech the behemah, we check this for sirchas on the reyah to make sure that there's no treifas there. And when we plant the tree, we wait for 3 years, orlo, and the fourth year, net the revai. And when a woman can't be with her husband, she has to wait a week or 2 weeks till she can go to the mikvah. We demonstrate a lot of self-control. So Adam Rishon didn't have that self-control. That was the problem. So that's a very fascinating medrash, that if Adam Rishon would have waited till Lel Shabbos, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't even have self-control to wait till the end of the day. What kind of a tree was the Eitz Hadas? So the medrash in the Gemara has different suggestions. One Tana says that it must have been a grapevine because the wine that comes from the grapevine causes all the trouble in the world. People get drunk and they do kol davar asur. So just like Noach after the Mabul got drunk and he did a stupid thing and he cursed his son Orakanan, Eved Avadim Yeliechob, Orakham, Orakanan, so on. So that's one opinion in the Gemara, that it must be the Eitz Hadas must have been a grapevine because wine that comes from the grapevine causes all trouble in the world. Another opinion in the Gemara is that it's chita. Chitim now grow from the ground, but in the days of Adam Rishon, before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, the chitim used to grow on a tree. That's one of the suggestions in the Gemara. Then the Gemara has a third suggestion. Maybe it's an esrog. Why? Because the word esrog is the same Aramaic word as nechmad lemare. The Chumash describes the Eitz Hadas as being nechmad lemare, very pleasant to look at. And the Targum Onkelos writes, the merageg lemachaze, merageg is the same word as esrog, means a pleasant-looking fruit. An esrog is a pleasant-looking fruit. So that's the third opinion, that the Eitz Hadas was an esrog tree. And then there's a fourth opinion, and it matters that it must have been a te'ena tree, because the Pasuk says, v'yispuru alei te'ena, v'yediki erumim hem, when they realized that they were naked, that they had done an avera. So it says, Vayispur Alatena. So the Medrash has a whole arichas. The other trees didn't want to allow, didn't permit Adam Arishan and Chava to take any leaves to wear as fig leaves to cover up their nakedness. Only the Te'ena tree, because the Te'ena tree was the tree that was responsible for the whole Mapala of Adam Arishan, because the tree, the Eitz Hadas tree, was a Te'ena tree. So these are the four different opinions. They quote that the Vilna Gaon had a minhag that he wouldn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah because according to the popular opinion, the Eitz Hadas was a grapevine and it was on Rosh Hashanah that Adam Rishon sinned by eating from the grapevine. We don't want history to repeat itself again. So we don't want to have anybody eating grapes on Rosh Hashanah. I remember once on Rosh Hashanah, Rav Soloveitchik asked his wife, what did she buy for Shachyona for the second night? So she said that she bought grapes, some fancy kind of grapes. So he said, oh, Givald, the meaning is that we don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. So you say Shachyona anyway, even if you don't eat the grapes. The meaning is, Mikra din, we pass and you say Shachyona, even if you don't have a pre-chodesh or a beged chodesh.
Rav Schechter, if I check the ingredients on the food in America, let's say, and the ingredients there's nothing ingredients,
yeah.
So then it's miyosheina matzoi that there's actually something treif. I mean, it's going to be very rare that all of the ingredients are perfectly fine, but the food is actually not kosher. So why can't I rely on looking at the ingredients? If the shochet can rely on checking just 1 out of 70.
Right, that's a very good question. But legally, the government only requires you should write list off the ingredients if they're 2% or above. So if it could well be that it has a treif ingredient, maybe it's far-fetched, I don't know. It could be that it has a treif ingredient that's slightly less than 2%. You still don't have shishim. 2% is echad mechamishim, is 1/50. And you have to have shishim of heter against the one unit of isim. So it could be that there is a non-kosher ingredient which doesn't have to be mentioned in the table of ingredients because it's slightly less than 2%. And it'll still make treif. Then furthermore, sometimes you have what they call the release agent. You have a conveyor belt and they want to dry out fruits. So they're going to put it through an oven and the juice is going to ooze out from the fruit and then the fruit is going to get stuck because the juice is sticky. So the fruit is going to get stuck to the conveyor belt. You won't be able to get it off. So they spray what they call a release agent. They spray some kind of chemical on the conveyor belt so that the fruit won't get stuck to the conveyor belt. That's not considered an ingredient. That could sometimes be a trefa release agent, but since they're not really interested in you eating and tasting it, so that could well be that that's on the, if it's a dried out fruit, if it's a dried out fruit, could well be that that's stuck on the outside of the fruit and it's not even bitarubis, it's going to be bien on the outside of the fruit. So that sometimes is the case. The release agent for the conveyor belt is sometimes a non-kosher thing, and it's not legally required to be listed as one of the ingredients because it's not really intended to be ingredient. It's only intended that that the fruit shouldn't get stuck to the conveyor belt.
Could but be. If I know for a fact that the probability of that is less than hamatze, then it's okay.
Yeah, strictly speaking, it's okay. But if you can get with a heksha, why not? I remember I was in the rabbinate for a short period of time. I was the rabbi in the shul Kahal Hadas Yishur in Al Paramus. At that time, it was a branch of Breuers. And on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, an Israeli who lived in Paramus came to the shul. He wasn't a member of the shul. He never davened in the shul. He had a shaila. He spoke on the telephone the first day of Rosh Hashanah to his family, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Turned out that his father passed away and the kfura was going to take place on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, in the morning. So the shaila was whether the second day Rosh Hashanah counts as the first day of Shiva. Usually, how can you have a shaila the second day Rosh Hashanah counts unless you're going to have a kfura on the second day Rosh Hashanah? Here in America, they don't permit kfuras. Because Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a chiddush, he thinks that they had to do kfur on the first day Yontav, Ayidei Amimim, Ayidei Nochem, and the second day Ayidei Yisrael, is not so much in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kfur, kavetik berena b'yam ahu. No, it's in order that the body shouldn't decompose. But since Bizman Hazeh, in the days of the Gemara, the body's going to start to decompose, it'll be bizoyin ames. So that's why they made the coolest. You can bury on Yantav Rishon Aliday Amimi. You can bury on Yantav Sheni Aliday Yisrael. But Bizman Hazeh, that they have freezes, or Moshe said there's no heter at all to have even Aliday Nachrim to have a kvura on Yantav. That was Rav Moshe Feinstein's reasoning. Others were not happy with that. Rav Moshe himself writes in the Shuvah, there are those who claim that he's against the Gemara. See, he says not against the Gemara. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any freezes. So they had, he thinks that the coolest, but because of the body decomposing. So, but the Agudas Rabbanim made an issa not to do any funerals on not on Yom Tov Rishon, not on Yom Tov Sheni, because I remember when there used to be a funeral on Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni, a lot of people would drive by car. Then they would all be driving to New Jersey to follow the Kvura. Not a lot of drive by car. And the Jews would be driving the car. So that's not permissible. So we really don't have the Shaila. But the Shaila was, the fellow spoke on the phone on the first day Yantav, and he told him his father passed away. And either they said they did the Kvura on the first day Yantav, or they're going to do the Kvura the morning of the second day Yantav, whatever. So the Shaila was whether the second day Rosh Hashanah counts as the first day of Shiva or not. So the Ran, in the beginning of all places, the beginning of Ksubas, the Ran quotes two opinions from the Ramban on this topic. If someone dies, a Kavis Mesa Baregel, someone dies and is buried on Chalamoid, so Yontav is not Oyle Lemin Yeshiva. But the last day Yontav, even though we don't observe Shiva, Yontav Sheni Shavuot, the very end, the eighth day of Pesach, or the second day of Shavuos, or the ninth day of Sukkot, so the last day, Yontav Sheni, counts as the first day of Shiva, even though one doesn't observe Shiva. So what kind of enigma is that? You don't observe Abelus at all on the Yontav Sheni Shogos, but it counts as the first day of Shiva. So the first explanation given by the Ramban, quoted by the Ran on the Rif, in the beginning of Ksubas, first explanation is that we treat Yontav Sheni as if it were a Sveka Diyama. So we go Lekula in both directions. We say, maybe last day Yontav is Yontav, and therefore you don't observe Avelus. And maybe it's not Yontav, maybe it's already Isruchag. Yontav was yesterday, so the last day of Yontav you should count as the first day of Shiva. So we say Halacha, we go Lekula, whenever this is Safek Avelus, we go Lekula, even though it's a Taita Nisasi, we're not observing Avelus on the last day Yontav, because maybe it is Yontav. But on the other hand, even though we're not observing a stitch of Avelus on the last day Yontav, we say it does count as the first day of Shiva because Sveka Diyama, Misofet. Yeah, so that's the Shaila, but the 2 days Rosh Hashanah is not a Sveka Diyama. We say 2 days Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas, Rashi calls it Diyama Arichta. It's a Vada Yontav, it's not a Sofet. So the Ramban has another version that the Ran quotes. He quotes both versions. Second version of Ramban is that's not the reason why, because it's a Sveka Diyama, Nigola Kula. He had a different biur. He said, maybe the din that Yontav can't be labeled as a Yom Evil, it can't count as Shiva, that's only if it's a Yontav Deraisa. But the Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, the Chalamoid is a Yontav Deraisa, there's a Chayiv Simcha. So Chalamoid can't count as part of Shiva. But the last day of Yontav, the Yontav Sheni, even if it's the last day Rosh Hashanah, second day Rosh Hashanah, it's only Midir Rabbanan. So maybe a Yontav Midir Rabbanan, you can superimpose the Shem Yom Evil on the day. If it would have been a Yontav Deraisa, you wouldn't be able to call it the Yom Evil. But since it's only a Yontav Derabbanan, so you can superimpose the Shem Yom Evil, and the day will count as the first day of Shiva. So because it's a suffix in the Ramban, according to the first beer that the Ramban gave, so only Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, that's the Sveka Diyama, would you count as the first day of Shiva, even though one is not observing Avelus, because we go to Kula, even though it's a Tata Sasri. We're not going to observe any Avelus, because maybe it is Yontav, but it does count as the first day of Shiva, because maybe it's not Yontav. So that's, you go to Kula and Avelus, even though it's a Tata Sasri. So if you say like that, then on the last day, Rosh Hashanah, there's no Sveka Diyama. Shouldn't count. But because we follow the second, you always go Lekula. Whenever there's a Safek Avelus, you always go Lekula. So the Ramban had the second explanation was that whatever is only a Yontav the Rabbanon can be labeled as a Yom Evil. So the second day, Rosh Hashanah, is also a Yontav only made the Rabbanon. So we're mekel on that the second day, Rosh Hashanah, would count for the first day of Shiva. On Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah tells us that it's the Yom HaDin, and this is the theme that we repeat in the Shemoneh Esrei quite a few times. So HaMelech HaKadosh, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is judging the whole world, but that's why we emphasize Malchus, Melech HaMishpat, because Hashem is judging the whole world. So the Ramban and his drasha for Rosh Hashanah, the long drasha that he gave in Ramban Shul, in the Rova in Yerushalayim. So he raises the question, where did the Chazal get this tradition from? And the Chumash in Tanakh never says a word about the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Where did they get it from? So he quotes a medrash from the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer that we mentioned earlier tonight, that it was on Rosh Hashanah, on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereishis, that Hashem created Adam and Rish, and the whole world was created first, because the whole world was created to be Meshamesh, human beings. So the whole world was prepared, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Rish. So Adam and Rish was Nitztaba on the first day, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't have self-control. He violated the mitzvah, the Hayrosh Shoah. All he had to do was wait till Lel Shabbos. He violated the one mitzvah on the same day. He was judged and he was punished. And he was told on that first Rosh Hashanah that just like you were judged today, so too in all the future generations, your descendants, all of human beings, will be judged on Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban says this is an oral tradition that we have from the days of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon told it to his children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon on that first Rosh Hashanah, just like you were judged today, so too I will judge all of your children on today. And we assume that the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a zman that's mesugal, more mesugal for tshuva, not only for the Jewish people, even for the Umos HaOlam as well. That's what it says. The Mabit writes like that in the Sefer Beis Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging the whole world on Rosh Hashanah, but he makes it easier for people. The pasuk says, "Dir Hashem dehimot so." Try to search out Hashem. Try to be chozer b'tshuva at the season of the year. Then he makes himself more accessible. When is that? Behimot so, dir Hashem behimot so. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that's elo aseres yemei tshuva. And so yom shebein Rosh Hashanah yom kippurim. Hashem makes himself more accessible not only for Bnei Yisrael, for the Umos HaOlam as well. So that's what the Ramban says. This was a tradition from the days of Adam HaRishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to Adam HaRishon. Hashem is going to judge all of the descendants of Adam HaRishon on every year on Rosh Hashanah. And they have the ability, it's easier for everyone to do tshuva during this season of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. We should all be blessed with a healthy year. We should be potter from this pandemic. We should all be able to get back to normal living and to be chozer b'tshuva. We need a schus. We should all be able to be chozer b'tshuva. Everyone should be well. And we'll get together after Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur. We'll have a shiur the week after, the Tuesday night after Rosh Hashanah. A good year, everyone.
Good year.
Thank you. I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman from Flatbush said, why we change from Keler Chapaim to Kelmelech Yoshev? Because you've said that the Shlosh Esrei Midos once at that point, after Keler Chapaim. Yeah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has gone from the Kisei of Din to the Kisei of Rachamim. So that's why we can say Kelmelech Yoshev or Kisei Rachamim.
Uh-huh.
After you've said the one Shlosh Esrei Midos. Uh-huh. That's a very nice mark.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Sure. A bit good bench, Tiara.
All the tefillah should be mekubal. Amen.
Amen.
Rabbi, one kasha about the Gros said that the Eitz Hadas was from grapes, and that's why you shouldn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. But it doesn't affect wine, even though it was a...
Yeah.
I mean, it should affect some wine also.
Yes, some mekubalim write that the reason why we say Kiddush on Friday night over wine is to be Mesak and the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Adam HaRishon sinned on Erev Shabbos, and we want to show that we use the wine, that's usually maybe Klol HaLoilam, we use the wine to say Kiddush, the remit. So the wine, we got to say Kiddush over wine. But we got to be careful not to get chicken, not to do crazy things. 40
Hey, see the Simitov.
Amen.
Shkoch, see the Simitov.
Amen.
Good.